B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Hey, nice. Thanks. Good to have you on.
Yeah. So I wanted to make a few points. So with the Carson Wentz thing, a lot of people are just knocking him down too much. Like, did they forget that during our Super Bowl run that he had 33 touchdown passes and 7 interceptions? And when they say that, like, he's targeting Zach Ertz only, like, when you look at that year, he was distributing the ball everywhere. Like, if you look at the stats, Nelson Aguilar got, like, 7-8 touchdown passes. Alshon Jeffrey had, like, 8 or 9. Ertz had 8. Like, he's not just, like, ball hogging or just throwing it to Ertz only. Like, last year, he was just injured. And, you know, when a person's injured, they usually are, like, gun-shy, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, he was definitely slinging it, especially in 2017 when they're on their way to the Super Bowl. That's for sure. And he just looked like a guy that – he looked like the guy that they talked about when they drafted him, the guy that the game happened at his pace. Everything around him was slowed down. He had the ability to kind of take over a game, distribute like you talk about, and really also manipulate the pocket to make the throws downfield. He was just nothing short of phenomenal.
Yeah, man. And also, like, when they keep saying that he gets hit all the time, they have to remember during the 2017-2018 season, our pass protection for some reason was not up there. Like, he kept getting hit, like, from everywhere. Also because our offensive line wasn't as, I guess, they're not a good pass protecting unit. Oh, they're decent, but they're better at run blocking instead. So, like, whenever they say that he's mostly injury prone, they also have to look at the O-line as well.
He can't just
put everything on his shoulder, so.
Oh, yeah, I think that is very true. You do have to look at what the offensive line is in. You're not giving him time, but then, too, sometimes he doesn't help himself by holding on to the ball. I mean, you have the average pass play takes 2.5, you know, so that ball needs to be out of his hands. So, but there were some issues with the pass protection. There were a lot of quarterback hits, so that was a lot of what was going on last year.
Hey, JT, do you have FanFest tickets?
Nah, man, I wish.
Boom, you just got him. How about that? Good stuff. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. You're going to be going to FanFest August 24th. That's a fine Saturday afternoon, 1 to 5 p.m. at Xfinity Live.
Do you know
exclusively.
What it is? It's also the college football kickoff day. So we'll have football, live football.
Mm.
Wow. Yeah.
August 24th.
First games.
That is phenomenal.
Woo!
We have FanFest going on. We got that going on. Exclusively presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. You can't forget about that. And by the way, I'm on to what you guys were scheming yesterday. By the way, we're on 97.5 The Fanatic WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio only from Comcast. In case you missed it yesterday, these fellas were trying to tease me. They're trying to tell me that David Hasselhoff was going to be at FanFest.
Yeah, that's confirmed.
So I looked. So I listened to, I still don't believe you. So I was listening to Mike yesterday, and apparently, is it Nelly that's doing a concert?
Yes, he's doing a concert after FanFest.
So I guess I got I turned on the radio, I got in the car late, and I didn't hear who they were talking about, and they were talking about doing a concert at FanFest. And I'm like, wait a minute. Is David Hasselhoff really coming to FanFest? And, like, performing live for everyone?
Oh, man, if we could get him to perform.
That's a doubleheader like nobody's business.
And I was like, oh, my God, the guys, they weren't messing with me. David Hasselhoff is going to be at FanFest. And then I think Natalie or Ty, I forget who it was. Then they go, well, I'm sure we can get Nelly. And I'm like, oh, that's right, they have the Nelly concert.
They'll both be there.
Not,
hopefully both in concert.
They're both performing together.
Yeah,
they're
Nelly
touring.
Apparently has to do a stage mic check during FanFest.
So, hold on. Nelly and the Hoss?
The Hoff is there with us.
The okay.
Nelly is separate from us in our event, but he's doing a concert that night at Xfinity Live.
Huh.
But apparently they have to do like a little bit of a mic check, stage test, Dorn FanFest. So hopefully we get the sound check from Nelly.
Do we still have to do a little sketch at FanFest? Is that how that works?
I don't believe.
Do we do like a Saturday Night Live sketch? What do we do?
God, no.
If we do, we're all dancing to It's Getting Hot in Her. That's what we're going to do. No?
I don't think anybody wants to see that.
How about on stage, we set up the stage to look like Trey's 1998 bedroom?
Hey, the waterbed, man, was going down. I'm trying to tell you.
What were you thinking when you bought the topless mermaid?
Man, this is going to look so sexy. Just the sexiness right now,
this
man.
This is what's going to put me over the top.
Oh, yeah, the sexiness right now is just going to be out of control, man. Just put on some musk, and it's going down, yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is what David Hasselhoff will be performing, even though he doesn't sing the song.
Yeah.
Some people stand in the darkness.
love Baywatch.
Step into the light.
Yeah, but we're not pulling your chain, man. The Hoff is going to be there.
You're lying.
Don't you dare hassle him.
Because I'm not... If anyone's hassling the Hoff, it's going to be me. You know I'm going to ask him the dumbest questions imaginable. Like the one I asked yesterday was, are you going to be in Dodgeball 2? If there is a Dodgeball 2. You had Hasselhoff and you had Chuck Norris. Now, if you tell me Chuck Norris is going to be at FanFest, I'll believe you. Because he'll be hawking Total Gym. He'll
be trying to Chuck Norris apparently is in on Area 51?
Really?
Yeah.
The Air Force has put out a statement saying, look, I advise y'all not to do this.
Well, yeah, they didn't know that Chuck Norris was going to be a part of it.
Yeah.
They'll just be swatting bombs away with roundhouse kicks.
Anything and everything. Yeah. They're not messing around with this.
No, they're trying to let people know, like, all right, now, hey,
We'll kill you.
Yeah, I'm trying to let y'all know. Please do not go through with this. But I know people are like, no, we're going to do it. We want to see them aliens.
Uh-huh.
You know how old Chuck Norris is?
What, 90?
He was in Enter the Dragon in like 72.
It's got to be like 77.
He's 114 years old.
I will say he's like, yes, 70. I'll say he's close to 70.
79.
No, he's not.
I said 77, so I was close.
79. But his toupee is only like 3 years old,
he's
so you don't have to worry.
79.
Google it.
I don't know if you know this, Bob, but I am all about lying about Chuck Norris's age.
Yeah.
I am part of the Chuck
Norris. That's what I stand for.
Chuck Norris's. Chuck, you know what? You know why
he's no David Hasselhoff.
You know why you think he's young? Because of all the Chuck Norris jokes that were out a couple of years ago.
I never said he thought he was young, but I didn't think he was.
Yeah, he's 79, man.
He is 79.
Did you used to watch Walker, Texas Ranger?
No.
I never watched it.
It was so hilariously bad that it was good.
Yeah, that was
that show ran for like 10 years.
Yeah, it was so bad. It was great. It was one of those.
Well, these are the things that we look forward to. So anyway, maybe Nelly.
Nelly will be there after us. But
how old's Nelly now? That's something I'll have to look up.
He's probably got to be like
79. No,
a little shy of 50.
A little shy. Is he still
45-ish?
Still doing the Band-Aid? Is
that's what
him?
I was just thinking. Is the Band-Aid still there? You know, was
that a St. Louis thing, or what was that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
He's a Missouri guy.
Yeah,
right?
He's St. Louis.
All right, there we go.
St. Lucians.
Now, We got into this a little bit yesterday, Trey. We were talking about the Eagles' defensive line, and I'm saying, actually, somebody tweeted in. I introduced the possibility of them getting 50 sacks this year. There are four teams in the NFL that got 50 sacks last year, and I think with the middle of this defensive line, the Eagles are going to be able to have that push in the middle, and Derek Barnett is going to have, I think, an incredible year. So you have all that, right, as evidence, right? And I think that this team, with a good secondary, will get those 50 sacks. 47.5 was the line that somebody tweeted into the show yesterday. 47.5. I think that's a good number. I'm going to go slightly over there. I'm going to say at most 50, but I think they can get to that number. Now, as we mentioned yesterday, a lot of that is going to depend, a lot of it is going to depend on how that secondary holds up.
Yeah.
It's going to be a battle in that secondary. I mean, you have Roddy McLeod, you have obviously Malcolm Jenkins. Those are the anchors, those are the safeties.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the corners, not the defensive backs in general, but the cornerbacks specifically, Jalen Mills, Ronald Darby, Sidney Jones. Let's see who else you have there. Rasul Douglas.
LeBlanc.
Cravon LeBlanc.
Cravon LeBlanc.
Like, it's going to be a battle because a lot of those guys, let's see, all of those guys at some point last year were starters for more than a couple games. So who do you see really coming out of those defensive backs, Trey, that you think will actually be the starters to begin the season, the guy that'll play in the slot? Who do you think will be the guy, obviously, coming in the corner? Same thing. Who will be those guys coming in to be your starting corners to help out that pass rush?
Well, right now, you got Darby. You have Sidney Jones. I think right now, you know, I think Jalen, you're still seeing what he's going to come back as far as injury or whatever. But, you know, Avante Maddox, are you looking to see to make a big stretch? But, you know, these are all guys that's going to have to step up and play. Whoever you put in there, I think Sidney Jones is going to have to really be the kind of pan out and be the guy that everybody expected him to be. You know, I watched a couple plays of him from last year. You know, there were some times where he took some bad angles, or even when you go back to the New Orleans games and hear that, all right, they were just looking to find you and attack you. So now, you know, hearing that, how do you respond to it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what we want to see. And for this defensive line to be successful, you need this secondary to really come out there and play. I think that you're going to have to have these guys be a little bit more physical to challenge the receivers, you know, because they're not going to be able to play where they give up all of this cushion, especially if you want this defensive line to eat. You have a very aggressive defensive line, so you need your secondary to play just as aggressive.
Now, what was interesting there was you started with Ronald Darby and Sidney Jones.
Mm-hmm.
But are you only saying that because of Jalen Mills trying to come back from injury?
Yeah, I think because Jalen Mills is coming back from injury, you don't know where he's going to be, you know, so... You know, oh, and yeah, you got Jalen Mills in there, but I'm pretty sure he's going to be one of those guys. Rasul Douglas, I mean, these are guys that's going to have to step up and play. They got all of these guys, I think, for me, are just going to have to really challenge receivers and play a lot more physical.
It's an interesting position group because there's guys that are proven yet unproven kind of all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you have, like, a legit four guys that could, you know, lay claim to a starting role, but could also very easily lose it.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting group this year.
To me, it's a group of depth. I just don't know how good they are yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's a mistake to look at and say, man, look at all those good players they have there. I think you have a lot of unproven players mm-hmm. there. They could mm-hmm. be good. You could wind up with two really good starters and a couple good back or whatever. But right now, to me, it's depth. I don't know how good the depth is, though.
Yeah, you look at all these guys. Like, Rasul Douglas started 7 games for you last year. You look at Ronald Darby only starting 9. You look at Jalen Mills only starting 8. Like, Avante Maddox started 9 for you. Sidney Jones started 4. Like, there's a bunch of guys. Craven LeBlanc started 4 games. Like, there's a bunch
of guys. I think Avante Maddox saved the season last year.
Oh, certainly. You're talking about Jacksonville?
Yeah. Like, I think he was one of the best players to step up when it was needed the entire season last year.
When they played in London against the Jaguars,
yeah.
he stepped up and forced that fumble that Malcolm Jenkins picked up
right
before the half.
And then it was just kind of smooth sailing from there on out. Yeah. Like, he was solid. And going back between safety and cornerback, mm-hmm. really impressive year out of that kid. I hope he takes another step.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to get into that a little bit more coming up. We got Matt, we got Graf, and Inge in KOP, ladies and gentlemen.
What's he doing up there? He must have lost power or something.
I think he might have heard.
It's pretty early for this much stupidity.
Oh, come on.
It's not too early.
Jamie!
I need another cup of coffee.
Jamie! Every once in a while, he drops a nice little token of information. That we're like, hey, Inge, great point.
I think it's like 1 out of like 13 calls.
And you know what? It was 12 calls ago, so maybe this is the one. 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic 7-Eleven.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
7 o'clock hour brought to you by Univest Bank. Handle all your banking remotely with Univest mobile platform. Easy, convenient, and secure. Live life. Stay connected with Univest Bank. Still haven't gotten any really good games going for people. We mentioned Suey. That was a good one. The games that have kind of gone by the wayside in the computer age. Slip and slide basically happened on the field last night. I saw John Clark of NBC Sports Philadelphia tweet out the video of the guy running on the field. First off, I hate that. Like, at any point, I just to stay off the playing surface. Like, the last thing a fan needs to think is, hey, you know what this game needs? More, it needs me. Like, no, like, you don't, we're good. Thank you. So it got me thinking about the slip and slide thing. And that's something that I remember from my childhood that I miss, right? I talked about Crocodile Mile. What are some of the things that you miss? Some of those outdoor games. There's one that jumps in my mind, and they started doing this with some of the draft picks in all the sports. I saw it in basketball in particular. They started playing a game called Know the 90s. So these guys are born in like 1999. These guys are born in like 2000.
It
right?
makes me feel so old.
Oh yeah, we're dead. Yeah, we're basically dead.
One foot in the grave,
pretty much. And they play these games, and this one thing showed up that I hadn't thought about. And this thing, every once in a while, you'd get hit by this thing, and it'd be like the worst pain you ever imagined. And they showed this in one of the, like, they showed this to one of the draft picks, and they had no idea what it was. And it was just one of those things that I forgot existed. And then, like, a bunch of memories started flowing back. I want to see if anybody gets it. So we're going to give away
some. Hurt when you got hit with it?
It hurt like hell. Like, you weren't, it wasn't meant to be, you weren't meant to be hit with it. But if it did, if you came in contact with this, it hurt like hell.
Was it a sporting ball?
It was not a sporting ball.
No, okay. I didn't give it away.
My head went to Hutch footballs.
Hutch football.
Do you remember, mini Hutches?
Yeah. The grips?
Yeah, well, yeah, but they were like the rubber, and they were hard.
They were hard.
So, like, if you got hit,
you could fire them a million miles.
Yeah, you could throw them a mile. So, yeah. If you got hit with one of those when you were, like, weren't, it hurt like hell.
Well,
yeah.
What was the one with the arrow on the back of it?
Remember that one? The Vortex.
Yeah. John Elway threw this thing a mile. John Elway was on it in his not
did
NFL.
That whistle? What was the one that
had a whistle?
It did have a whistle in
it. No. The advanced one had the whistle.
Yeah, it came out like the version 2.
All right, we got this thing. We can throw a mile. What can we do? What can we do next?
Add a whistle.
Great idea. More ideas, guys.
Charge four more dollars.
But I always laughed because John Elway had his un-NFL licensed or un-NFL approved jersey. It was just an orange jersey with number 7 on it. And he's like doing the Heisman, but he's doing like the old school throwing the football pose. Yeah, that was definitely one of them. But no, it wasn't that. And it wasn't the Hutch football either. But we're giving away FanFest tickets in honor of the slip and slide. What's some of the things of years past that, you might want to, go back to the Wayback Machine and use again. Matt in Englishtown. Matt, where is Englishtown?
It's near Cranberry and Monroe, kind of central North Jersey.
Oh, central North Jersey. Gotcha. All right, man. What's on your mind today?
I got a couple games, and then I want to possibly make a quick Eagles point if I get around to it.
Go for it.
I start with the games?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. When my best friend would have a cookout, right? Like, his dad would have an annual cookout for his firehouse buddies, and we would get all the kids would come, and I mean, I don't know if you can do this in a city area, but in a kind of a rural area, we used to play a game called Fumble Fumble. It's a very easy game. Whoever has the ball, everyone tries to get it out of them, get the ball.
Oh, yeah. I think every group of friends had a variation of that same game.
Ours was Kill the Man with the Ball.
Kill the Man with the Ball. There's another one.
Yeah.
That I don't know if it's appropriate.
Throw a tackle.
Yeah. I don't know if the first word is smear. And then I don't know if the rest of it is appropriate anymore. But, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, we called it Fumble Fumble. And then we had another more complex game. This was kind of a separate group of friends, but some of the same friends, called Manhunt. It may be, like, similar to Jailbird.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Manhunt, yeah. Man, that ruled the night growing up in the burbs.
Exactly. You guys know. Okay.
Yeah, man, we played that a lot. Hey, okay. What's on your mind with those birds?
Yeah, I just think more than having hopes about, like, certain whether Carson Wentz is going to stay healthy, I just think, I mean, for me personally, I've torn my ACL playing sports and come back from it, but I just think we're primed with the depth, and, like, even before we added depth, I just think it's more we're just primed to have a good, Super Bowl run this year and the next year just with people making plays and the additions we've had. I just think if Carson Wentz is going to stay healthy and he's got the top doctors around him. I mean, it's just I don't see why we're not primed to make the run.
What's your number for wins? What do you got him at?
I say 12.
My man. Yeah. There we go, Matt. Good stuff. You're going to FanFest, by the way. I'm gonna throw you some tickets right there. Let's get to Graf and Media. What's up, brother?
Yo, so Manhunt is an excellent game. Capture the Flag was also awesome.
Capture the Flag was awesome.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Graf, to be honest with me, did that inspire your military career?
Absolutely not, dude. that was too much fun, man. Yo, and the other one, too, is wall ball. You think kids still play wall ball?
Nope.
No?
No, I don't think so. Well, Jamie mentioned Suey earlier, if you ever played Suey.
A more cutthroat wall ball.
Yeah, it's like it's prison rules wall ball.
Was that with pegging?
Yep.
Yeah, see, the vocabulary wall ball has changed a lot over the years, you know? Like roofing it. You remember when one dude would roof and throw it on the roof?
Yeah, that jerk.
Nowadays, roofing it's like when you take a dookie in the tank and then, like,
I thought that was an upper deck.
That's called an upper deck.
It's all about the verbiage, right, Grant?
None of us are interested in, yeah. So, and then the other thing, too, is Ghost in the Graveyard. You guys ever play that when you were kids?
I don't remember the rules to that one.
No.
It was like basically, I mean, we used to play it in a graveyard. Like, I would go to my youth group every week, and then we would actually play in the graveyard, which was also super creepy now that I think about it. So, that's probably where a lot of my issues come from. But, the birds, real quick. Do you guys think that out of that cornerbacking crew, there is like a single Pro Bowl caliber corner on the squad?
That's a great point. I mean, like, the guy that I think is going to be a very big surprise to a lot of people, like the pleasant surprise of the cornerbacks, is going to be Avante Maddox. I think the guy showed that he's a playmaker. Yeah. I have a lot of doubt about Sidney Jones. Injured on his pro day. We know that he missed the vast majority, two games of his rookie season. He disappointed last year, got injured again. Trey mentioned earlier, it was a great point talking about Sean Payton wanted to exploit Sidney Jones. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have a lot of confidence. He has a lot to prove in my book. But Avante Maddox just might be that guy that just has it. He might just be that guy that's a playmaker for this team. To answer your question, Graf, nobody jumps out to me to be a Pro Bowler, not just yet. But a guy that I'm looking at and really keep my eye on is Avante Maddox.
All right, good to go. Because, I mean, those Lito and Sheldon days and Bobby Taylor and Troy Vincent, I would love to have one Pro Bowl corner. And then my last first question for you, where's this squad rank on paper all time to you guys? We're talking about ratings, so give me a rating. Where do you think this squad ranks this year with the offense that we now currently have and all the weapons available, and even with some of the weapons we have on defense?
Well, real quick, Graf, versus other Eagles teams in the past,
let's say the 2000s.
Okay.
Just keep it simple for yourself.
Thank you. Don't make me go too far, but appreciate it. Talk to you, buddy. I think, and Bob, I know you mentioned this, and Trey, we've gotten into this. You look at that 04 roster with Terrell Owens on it, right? This roster, to me, the starters are right up there with that 04 team.
Yeah.
No question. Here's where I disagree with Zach Ertz. I don't believe the Eagles will ever, ever again have a roster nearly as good as what won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Because when I talk about a roster, I'm not talking about the 22 starters. I'm talking about the first man to the 53rd, right? I'm talking about that roster that the Eagles won the Super Bowl with, because that roster was so incredibly deep. You lost two Hall of Famers in Jason Peters and Darren Sproles and your starting quarterback, and you still won the Super Bowl. Like, I don't think a team will ever be that deep again. That was an anomaly, thank God, and it was amazing. But and when you talk about the starters on this team, they stay healthy. Yeah,
how's everyone doing?
It could be the best starting lineup, I'll say, in Eagles history.
Well, they better stay healthy. Well, one man that wears number 11 in particular better stay healthy because there's no Nick Foles back there anymore. It's Nate Sudfeld time.
So if I'm putting like the 04 team at like the 99, like being the best one I've seen my life, then I would put this team with still some things to prove. I would put them right up there.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're right there.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, this is an extremely talented squad. I mean, on both sides of the ball. The only question you have is secondary. Like, I think our secondary was better.
No question.
Yeah, but I mean, when you add DeSean Jackson to this receiving core, you have the speed there. There you go.
We're going to rock that 10 mode. We're going to get back to the 10.
Yeah, I think this is they're right up there, man. This is a talented squad.
Philly, though. You feel me?
And it's funny. Going into the 17 season, I don't think we looked at that team with the roster being great and being full of depth. Because think of who filled in. Halapuli Vaiti Vaitai was the guy that filled in.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of a shock, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think my expectations. And who else was out that you said another Hall of Famer?
Darren Sproles.
Oh, Darren Sproles, yeah. So I just didn't. Yeah, and Corey Clement stepped up. Like, I don't think we anticipated them having the depth that they had. So going into the season, that's why I say going into the season, I have as much anticipation for this team as at any point in my life alongside of that 2014.
Hell yeah.
Because the Super Bowl winning team, I didn't see that they had depth. It turns out they did.
Well, here's what's interesting. Remember before the year, Doug Peterson compared him to the Packers Super Bowl championship. And he goes, I've been around some great teams. I forget the exact quote, but it was, this team has as much talent as the 96 Packers, 95 Packers. Yeah. And he's like, this team has as much. And we're all like, oh, pump the brakes, Doug. Yeah. Like, coming off of, 7-9 season. Take it easy there, pal. And then sure enough, what happened?
Your head on your ass!
And you know what Doug said after that?
Everything matters.
Everything matters.
Everything
we do matters.
Yeah, man.
I think we're going to need that music again, by the way. I think we're going to need the music again. Maybe a little some bubbles. I think we're going to need to institute that one more time.
Hey, some good news about the youth of America.
What happened?
We got a tweet from Meth Crazed Alligator.
I'm sorry, what happened?
Meth Crazed Alligator.
In Tennessee?
No, he tweeted us in. He's a listener.
Don't flush your meth, kids.
He said, I'm dropping my boys off this morning at summer camp. They said they still play wall ball every day.
Hey!
Oh, how about that? Good job, kids.
We're going to be okay.
We'll be all right.
Let's hear it for America. It's not all that bad. Now, if they play suey, they're some badass kids. You know, they come home with, like, welts and be like, what are you guys doing?
Just
wall ball, Dad.
I'm so proud of you, son.
Were you playing suey? Yes, Dad. You're my boy.
And a lot of people have guesses on Twitter about your thing.
They do.
Is it correct?
I seen one. That's correct.
All right.
Explain it again real quick.
It's a game.
Right.
You're not meant to get hit with it. So it's not like a ball.
Right.
It's not suey. Right. But you're not meant to get hit with it. But it's a game that if you got hit, it was like the worst pain you've ever experienced in your life. Like I went to the breastfeeding class last night. Everyone's talking about birth. And I'm like, this sounds almost as bad as.
Yeah.
Like that.
Do you ever get on a razor scooter? It wasn't from our youth per se. It was more like when you're an adult.
Yeah.
But if you ever got one of those in the shin,
yeah, that was terrible.
Oh, you want to die?
That sucks.
That is number two compared to this.
Oh, okay.
That's number two compared to this because this was, I think, traveling at a higher rate.
All right,
let's put it that way.
Oh, I think I just thought of.
Oh,
one.
Did you?
Yeah, but it wasn't one on the tweet, so I think it's safe.
Okay. All right. We'll get to it here now. Mm. Now, do you? Let's all. I think we all enjoy our careers, right?
Yeah.
Very much so. I even told Bob when I win my British Open DraftKings $1 million tournament over the weekend, I'll still come to work on Monday.
Yeah, no, you're not.
No, I will. Maybe I'll take a day. But I like my job so much, I'll be back.
Go to take a day. Figure out a trust, and then come into work on Tuesday.
Yeah.
But like no one's waking up at 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning to like do this if they're a gazillionaire.
He just said million.
Yeah, it's only a million.
Oh, it's only a mil?
Yeah.
That's pocket change these days.
Yeah.
But, we all enjoy it. But if we did want to change career paths, maybe we would do what our brilliant friend Inge might try to do right here. Inge, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, buddy.
Yeah, before I get to my comedic routine
that
I dreamed about. But, look, let me make a quick mention about the Eagles since you mentioned it there, Mark.
Yeah.
I think that 2017-18 Eagles was the greatest team in Philadelphia sports history by this measure. If you look at return, you know how we look at return on investment for business. How about return on talent? That is the greatest team. I don't think that team had that much talent. I gotta disagree with you. I think that team was the greatest team in Philadelphia history.
Wait, which team?
I don't think we appreciate that.
Which team?
The Eagles. The Eagles that won the Super Bowl a couple years ago.
What did I just say? I said I don't think we'll ever have
a talented team. You said
no, I said that was the greatest roster.
No, I disagree. I think it has the greatest return on talent. It had a that's a difference.
What are you saying that is different than what I'm saying?
Oh my God, dude. Look, I think that team didn't have that much talent, and to win the Super Bowl. I'm sorry, man. Look, let me get to my stand-up.
No, hold on. No, that's not how the setup goes, Inge. Yeah, you hold on a minute. I'm being told that you want to go into stand-up comedy. Is this true or false?
Yeah. It's my dream to be standing up there like Helium Club.
Okay, well Inge. Perfect. Inge, who are your comedic inspirations?
Comedic inspirations?
Yeah.
How about that? What was that crazy?
Roseanne?
Oh, what's her name?
Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, she's pretty good. But look, let's go.
Come on, wait, Inge. Name one comic.
Hugh Hefner.
You're messing with my freaking.
No, Inge. Name one stand-up comic.
Dolly Parton.
This is your act. It's awesome.
Inge, before you go into. No, Inge, hold on a minute. Now, you tell me right now.
Rick James, Super Freak.
How about this?
Name one stand-up comic.
How about you, man?
Terrible pick.
Can you name one?
No, in all honesty, can you name a comedian?
I love Raw, man.
All right,
Luther Vandross.
All right, he said Raw. Okay,
Monday Night Raw.
And who performs Raw?
What? You know who my favorite is.
Andy, damn it, man!
Eddie Murphy!
Thank you!
There we go!
What the hell, brother?
I say we give him a couple. I want to hear this.
Iggy, can I just ask you, what do you do for a living? What is your day job?
I'm in banking, finance.
You're finance man. Okay, so let's see if we can help Iggy here transition to a new, career in stand-up comedy.
Okay, here we go.
Hold on, Iggy. I gotta be your hype man. All right, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready to laugh tonight? Well, please welcome to the stage from King of Prussia here at the Chuckle Hut. Welcome in, Iggy.
Look, everyone. Everyone's seen the news, right? Look, you've seen Trump's rallies when people are chanting, send them home. But that's mean-spirited. And that's un-American. So I thought we could change something. Let's keep the same rally, Trump rally, but let's change the rant to this. It's more positive and it's more fan-friendly. How about this? It sounds exactly the same as let's go Flyers, but let's do this. Let's go, Whitey. Look, it's very positive.
All right. Thanks very much. I don't know if we wanted to go there.
I would recommend not going with that in your head.
That's a bad start.
Yeah. I would say stick to the banking.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did we dump that?
No.
Luther Vandross.
I hung on him. What?
I don't know.
I honestly didn't think he was going to be able to name a comedian.
I
think he Googled it after he said
it. Okay, hold on. Let me do this. This is social experiment. Social experiment. All right.
Are you Googling raw?
No, I'm.
Because he might find some weird stuff.
Yeah. You might find that waterbed. Baby oil.
I'm Googling stand up comic to see what's the first thing that comes up.
My guess is Richard Pryor.
Robin Williams.
The first name that comes up, and I'm going to butcher this guy's name.
Oh, I know who you're going to say.
But he's a hilarious comic, and he did the big
Italian guy?
Who, Sebastian Maniscalco?
Oh, no.
No, he's
hysterical.
He is.
I love Sebastian.
Kumail, not...
Garuje Hill?
LeBlanc?
He played pretty well last year.
He did. Kumail he did the big sick.
He's in Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, he is funny, but he's the first name that came up. That's before George Carlin. Then Louis C.K.
He's problematic.
Chris Rock, Jerry Seinfeld, Dave Chappelle, Kevin Hart, Bill Burr, Amy Schumer, Sarah Silverman.
I've seen Bill Burr like 5 times. He is phenomenal.
I have not, and I love Bill Burr.
You
I know
there.
He has that epic rant against Philadelphia.
Yeah. That was over in Camden.
Yeah, I didn't realize Dom Irrera was the inspiration of that.
Really?
Because apparently like he got booed or something like that, and he's like one of our own.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
Bill Burr, like friends with Dom Irrera.
What's wrong with you
was
people?
Was like, you bastards. Like, what the hell? This is one of your own over here. You guys live right over there, like across the river, and you're going to break the stones of my friend?
Yeah.
And then he went nuts.
That's awesome.
610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. All right, JJ on the turnpike. He thinks he's got my game. We're going to get to him on the other side and see if he wins some FanFest tickets to take some more games.
Oh, I remember that one. I just popped into my head.
All right, we'll get JJ, we got Chris, we got Dennis, and Dennis coming up in just a few. Also, I want to get into this. This Phillies game last night, if you hadn't heard Gabe Kapler yet after the game, it was classic Cap. Where, you know what, Bob, it's not all that bad. Trey, it's not all that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Is it bad? No, man, we're on a waterbed. We're cool. Separate waterbeds, but we're cool, man. We're just out here floating in the sea. With the topless mermaid holding the pearl. That's all we got. Time of the Fanatic, 741.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Coming up at about an hour from now, from Cooperstown, New York. Soon to be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame, Mr. Jason Stark will join us from The Athletic. Then, a little bit later, we're going to talk to newly of The Athletic, formerly of The Inquirer, a good friend, Mr. Zach Berman will join us.
Yeah.
How about that?
We have a
fully stocked show.
He's been all over. He was a Daily News guy, then an Inquirer guy, now he's an Athletic guy.
Would he have the same desk, Daily News to Inquirer?
Or
a totally different wing?
It's funny because when Zach joined us, I was still at the Daily News, I think, when Zach joined. We moved to Market Street, and I was covering the Sixers. I rarely went in the office, Mark, to tell you the truth. I don't think I even had a cubicle.
You rebel.
Well, no, I was just, you know, they didn't expect me there because I was on the road all the time. So
was it something like in old school radio days? It's not like it is here. But like old school radio days, they used to have the sales area would be like a tile floor. And the on-air area was a carpeted floor. And the rule was
like Field of Dreams. You couldn't step on the on-air.
Exactly. It was, whoa. What are you doing on this?
Yeah.
What are you doing on this surface?
You're a tile guy.
Yeah, hey.
You ain't a carpet.
Get to the tiles.
Guy.
Get to the tiles. Like, some program directors were so anal, they would have that differentiation between the sales and the program because they wanted to keep it that separate.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how. Yeah, so was it like Daily News and Inquirer?
Interesting. Hey, there was definitely a red line down the middle of the newsroom. No question.
All right, JJ, and we're going to play this Gabe Kapler sound for you in a second after last night's game, or this morning's game, I guess it would be. But JJ on the turnpike. First off, JJ, are you still on the turnpike?
No, thank God. I'm in Lansdale now. And hearing Inge do stand-up while on the turnpike should not be allowed.
I apologize. I don't apologize for anything on the air. I'll apologize for that one.
My God, I want to set myself on fire. But anyway, I think the Eagles will win 11 games. I believe that in my heart. But my question is, how come no one's talking about the linebackers? I look at the names, I look at the depth, and I'm not that impressed. Is there someone that I don't know about that's supposed to start this year? Like,
well,
what's going on?
You remember they got Zach Brown. Remember that? Look, I'm not saying that name to brag. I'm just saying that they did acquire a linebacker. Nigel Bradham, Zach Brown, and Kamu Grugier-Hill.
Brown led the NFL in tackles amongst linebackers over the last 3 years.
Yeah, so he's an aggressive guy. He gets after it.
It's a different system, but he's certainly no scrub.
Definitely not.
Is he old?
Not really. I think he's only like 28, 29.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, all right. So maybe I'll calm down on that. But so the game that I was thinking of, and I don't know if I'm right, but do you remember the game Skip It?
Yes.
You would kind of tie it to your one ankle, and then you would kind of jump over it with your other leg.
Yes.
But if you mistimed the jump, and that thing whacked you in the shin, you were in pain for at least a week and a half. So I don't know if I'm right, but when you said it back in the 90s,
was that it?
JJ, you nailed it.
Oh.
And guess what? We're going to keep going with this all day. Just games people remember that are going by the wayside, like Slip and Slide, for instance. JJ, you're going to FanFest, though, my friend.
Oh, thanks, guys. Love the show.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it, man. Dawn Marie Price. Dawn Marie Price.
What's that?
It's the name of the girl that lived up the street from me. We lived in Rochester, New York for a couple of years when I was a kid. And we lived on a cul-de-sac. And these are the people, like, this was great. Like, all the kids in the neighborhood around the same age. We all played baseball. We played football, everything.
It's the best.
Dawn had to skip it. And this flipping thing would go around at, I'm pretty sure the speed you could get it up to as like a 7-year-old girl was like 480 miles per hour.
It broke the sound barrier.
And it had a counter on it.
Yeah.
We had one in the
Lynch house.
Yeah, I don't know if it originally had a counter or if it was an
second
evolution.
Generation.
Second generation. Like the Vortex whistle.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if the original had one or not, but I think the goal was to get the counter as high as possible. Like, it would go like the 999, I think it was the highest. Right. So Dawn was like going for her world record, right, of like our cul-de-sac of like six houses. And she was going for it. And I remember I was tracking a fly ball. And Dawn was like out in the outfield and she was playing with the Skip It. Why we let her on the, I don't know. But she's going around and we played on this big cul-de-sac. Well, big. We were kids, so it seemed huge to us. And she was playing in like the outfield area where I was. And I went back to get a fly ball. And this thing, holy God, I'll never forget the pain. I'll never forget the pain.
Where did it hit you? In the shins?
Like, I swear, if you hired a like Navy SEAL to train with this weapon for years, it would not have hit me in a more precise spot than in the middle of the shin like this hit me with Dawn Marie Price going around on the skip it. It whacked me in the shin. I'll never forget that pain.
Did you call her Dawn, or was it Dawn Marie
when
you got mad at her?
No, it was always Dawn Marie.
Have you like looked her parent up on Facebook these days?
Oh, no, we're still, our families are still really tight.
Oh, okay. Did you ever
kiss her?
Yeah, my first kiss.
Really?
Yeah,
no, she was the one.
Yeah.
You were like three, you said, or something.
Yeah, I was like three, four, or five, something like that. Yeah, I was really young.
Romantic early, huh?
Well, we had older brothers, and they're like, we dare you to kiss. And we're like, yeah, what's the problem?
Yeah, we'll do it.
I'm like,
I'm a
man.
Then it turned ugly, right?
Yeah, then we started smoking cigars, and we're like, nothing to this. That's why I had my first glass of whiskey.
The other thing I was going to say was...
only time I ever lied to my dad.
Ah.
Mark, were you kissing Dawn? No, Dad, I don't know what you're talking about.
No.
I ain't no rat.
The other thing that was skip it, the pain made me think of, is remember the old bike pedals that were metal and they had like spikes on them?
Yeah, and those are the ones that weren't the gears. They would just keep going.
Yeah.
If you took your those things were dangerous.
And if you like misstepped on it and it did a full revolution around and got you in the shin, I would put that up there with skip it pain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those were, whew.
Like, even last night, I was thinking about it because I saw the tweet about the slip and slide from, like I mentioned, John Clark earlier, right? So I saw the tweet about it. I was thinking, like, when the ladies were talking about pregnancy and all that and childbirth, I was like, well, yeah, but have you ever been hit by a skip it? Like, let me just. And they were like, oh, yeah, that's probably worse. Like, they were on my side, ironically. By the way, when can a woman who's breastfeeding, this is a question I didn't get in last night. When can a woman who's breastfeeding go back to emptying the kitty litter? When's that happen?
I think it's only during the pregnancy.
Yes!
To my knowledge.
I will tell you right now, I'll change my kid's diaper all the time.
You got to get one of those robo changers where it does it for you.
Yeah, but those things are tricky because sometimes a cat's like, yeah, nice try.
Yeah. Cat litter's the worst.
Hear what he just said? I'll change my cat's litter anytime.
No, kids.
No, you said I'll change my cat's litter.
I'll change my kid's diaper anytime. I
heard
care.
My cat's litter.
And just get ready for the worst smell in the world if you guys use it. Formula, baby formula, after it's done. It's the worst smell in the world.
No, the worst smell is the formula coming out of the baby's mouth when it throws up.
Yeah, it's all not good.
Yeah, sorry, Trey. Trey's in the middle of a
$20 omelet, and we're talking.
Well, it doesn't matter to me at all.
Let's get Dennis and Ben Salem up here. Dennis, what's on your mind, brother?
How you doing today, gentlemen?
Hey,
good.
All right, Eagles. Am I missing something? How is Russell Douglas not starting at corner yet?
Because they really like Jalen Mills, they like Sidney Jones, and they brought back Ronald Darby. I hear what you're saying.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.